Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Bob Weinberg reports on rock guitar legend Jimi Hendrix at the Miami Pop Festival, May 1968. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. The Cleveland Orchestra has started its 8th season residency at the Arsht. Here's Charles Greenfield with the details.
As guest conductor of the Cleveland Orchestra Miami Residency and the music director of the Nashville Symphony Orchestra, Nicaragua-born Giancarlo Guerrero is a very busy and productive man. He has collaborated with and is a big advocate for contemporary composers like John Corigliano, Osvaldo Golichoff, and Robert Sierra. Maestro Guerrero served as music director of Oregon's Eugene Symphony from 2003 to 2009. With the Nashville Symphony on Naxos Records, he won three 2011 Grammy Awards, including the category of Best Orchestra Performance. He has led major North American orchestras in Baltimore, Boston, Dallas, Detroit, Milwaukee, Toronto, and Vancouver. In South America, he annually conducts the renowned Orquesta Sinfónica Simón Bolívar in Caracas, Venezuela. Recently, I spoke to Giancarlo Guerrero about his career as a conductor and discussed the Cleveland Orchestra's 2014 upcoming concerts at the Arts Center's Knight Concert Hall. Giancarlo Guerrero, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Briefly describe your musical background in classical music from Nicaragua to Texas. And is music an inherent gift or a learned skill? And what about that learning curve?
Well, when I think about music directors, having been born in Nicaragua and growing up in Costa Rica, you don't think of those as, you know, the meccas of classical music, but somehow it worked for me. I've been able to make a career out of it, and I think I'm a perfect example of how music can touch people's lives. And for me, it started in Nicaragua, really growing up there, and you might remember in the 70s, Nicaragua, like most of Central America, was going through some sort of, civil strife. And my family and I were forced to move next door to Costa Rica, and it was there that I started my musical training when I was 11 years old. Like most parents, my parents just signed me up for the symphony to keep me busy and hopefully out of trouble. I come from a completely non-musical family. Nobody in my immediate family, except for my daughters, even knows how to read music. But my dad always felt that I had an ear for music, maybe because I could carry a tune. So when he saw an ad on the newspaper for the Youth Symphony of Costa Rica, he signed me up for it. I went there, and I started originally as a percussionist. I was in the back of the orchestra. I always use the line that I was in the back of the orchestra with two sticks. Now I'm in the front with one. And I was very happy. It was a wonderful after-school activity for me. And when it was time to go to college, I was very fortunate that Baylor University in Waco, Texas, gave me a full scholarship to attend school, still as a percussionist. And it was there my junior year that I took the mandatory conducting class, and somehow I fell in love with it. And look at me now.
And there is a learning curve, and do you see it as a gift or basically a learned skill?
You know, it is both. I do believe that you have to have talent for it, but on the same token, you have to work really, really hard at it. And I am very fortunate that I found early on in my life and in my career my passion. And when you love something so much, I guess it becomes relatively easier, because for me practicing, nobody had to force me to do it. And I always tell parents that when they want their kids to pursue not only music but any other passion in sports, I mean, you must want to do it. And when you have that goal and you really love something, I think it, like I said, you just go for it. And for me, I always say I'm very fortunate that I found my calling in life, and because I found what I love to do in my career, I really don't work any day in my life. I mean, I love what I do so much that I don't even consider it much work. It's a privilege to make music with some of the greatest orchestras and some of the greatest ensembles and soloists. So I consider myself immensely fortunate.
Let's talk quickly about your personal pantheon. Give us three of your real favorite composers, and what are those traits in their music that you find compelling?
Well, one of the ones that, and I've been doing a lot of these composers lately, has been Gustav Mahler. And I guess it's the connection, the fact that he was himself a conductor, and his music is so filled with emotions, and that's something that you want to have as a performer on stage. You want to have an emotional connection with the audience. It's not just about playing notes. These notes have to have a meaning. And I do believe that that's why this music, that in many cases has been written 200, 300 years ago, it still has meaning today, because the ideas of love, the ideas of compassion, the ideas of joy, the ideas of hatred that you find in operas, the ideas of comedy are still very much relevant today than they were 300 years ago. And that's what you're always looking for. Of course, the music of Mozart, to me, always puts a smile on my face. To me, that was one of the perhaps the greatest genius that ever lived, and it always comes back to Mozart. It's almost like every composer somehow finds a niche in what Mozart was able to achieve, also in a relatively short period of time. And then I would say the last composer would have to say Stravinsky. I remember vividly the first time I heard a Stravinsky work. And, of course, a life-changing moment was when I actually got to witness Rite of Spring for the first time, and it changed my life. And I consider that one to be one of my absolute favorite composers to do. I will also tell you, though, that as a conductor, choosing repertoire is one of the most challenging and one of the most difficult things to do, because how do you come up with music that you can conduct and that you want to conduct? I mean, there's so much music to choose from that sometimes can be very challenging. So I will tell you that whatever ends up making it to a program went through such an elimination process that at least in that moment, in that night, those are my favorite composers.
The Stravinsky that you mentioned will be played tonight and tomorrow night with Franz Welsermost with the Cleveland Orchestra Miami Residency. They're also doing a Debussy work, Le Martyr de Saint-Sébastien, and they're also, I believe, doing the Strauss songs, Don Juan.
I was very aware of this program, and trust me, there's a part of me that wishes I was down there witnessing this fabulous orchestra tackling this repertoire.
Well, it's going to be a very challenging evening, but let's go right to your program, which will be February 21st and 22nd at the Arts Center. There's Dvorak's Othello Overture, the Prokofiev Violin Concerto No. 1 with Arabella Steinbacher, and Tchaikovsky No. 5. Set this up for us.
Well, this whole program is all about drama when you think about it. You have this Fifth Symphony of Tchaikovsky, and of course, most people are aware that Tchaikovsky, very much like most other great artists, had a very complicated life, immensely talented, but had a hard time finding his own place in history and his own place in life. Even his two great concertos, the Violin Concerto and the Piano Concerto, were rejected outright by the people to whom he dedicated them. And it's remarkable that these pieces made it into the repertoire, even with that very inauspicious beginning. And the symphonies, I think, are a wonderful way for Tchaikovsky to be able to bare his soul and tell us what he was trying to deal with on a daily life. I mean, depression and, in many cases, just absolute frustration that he was not being recognized. But the Fifth Symphony, I think, is all about fate, the idea that the artist is always having to deal with fate coming at you, and that even you always try to find that light at the end of the tunnel. But with Tchaikovsky, it always seems to escape him, and I think that's one of the reasons why this symphony in particular is one of the most popular pieces, I think, in the symphonic repertoire. You put that next to a piece like the Othello Overture, which is based, of course, on the great Shakespeare play. You have some of the same ideals in this case. They have to do with fate, but here you have a very powerful man in the image of Othello who is completely destroyed by jealousy and completely destroyed by things that actually were not there, and how, again, something as simple as jealousy, the idea of love, of complete and utter falling in love with his wife but still believing that she's being unfaithful to him, completely destroys him. And as I said before, these are ideals and these are themes that anybody can understand. Even if you're not a seasoned concert goer, these are things that come very, very clearly in the music. And then in the middle, we have a Prokofiev Violin Concerto, which is just like most Russian violin concertos. It's like watching somebody being up on a trapeze artist and trying to balance all these many notes because it is absolutely virtuosic, filled with great fireworks, and for me, it's one of the most exciting programs I'm doing this year.
And then you're going to finally end March 21st and 22nd with a more rhythmic, it seems to me, group of pieces. You've got the Abduction from the Seraglio, Mozart, you've got Higdon's Percussion Concerto, and Holst, The Planets. Briefly, tell me what you see in that.
Well, in the case of the Higdon Percussion Concerto, as a former percussionist myself, this is an instrument or a set of instruments that are immensely visual. And you're going to see a soloist, in this case Colin Curry, running back and forth on stage playing 20 different instruments. I decided to open that with the Abduction from the Seraglio because that's one of the operas of Mozart, one of the first pieces in the symphonic repertoire that actually calls for percussion. And the original percussion section in the classical period of Mozart and Haydn was made up of three players, bass drum, cymbals, and triangle, which were basically a copy of the Janissary bands from Turkey that were used basically to create such a ruckus to scare the other side. And to see how much percussion has come into the 21st century now that it's a very pretty standard section in any orchestra, to me it's a wonderful way to open with where percussion started in the orchestra and where we are now in the 21st century.
The Planets will be something also amazing, and unfortunately our time has run out, and I just want to thank you so much, Giancarlo Guerrero, for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Cleveland Orchestra Miami Residency, its musical director Franz Welsermust, and guest conductor Giancarlo Guerrero continue their warm and productive relationship with South Florida during its winter-spring musical season. The Cleveland Orchestra's image as a world-class orchestra with solid programming and a music outreach program are powerful incentives and emollients within our local cultural fabric. This season, Cleveland Orchestra Miami will introduce the Under-18s free program with the 2014 season, including all 8 subscription concerts, January through March, based on 1 free admission per full-price adult ticket purchased. For tickets, call 305-949-6722 or visit their website at clevelandorchestramiami.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.